Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning as we try out this new technology for us. A lot of people have been using it for quite some time. I hope it goes well. I hope you can hear me. I can't see your comments right now. I'm not logged in to be able to do that. But I do have some people watching so that they can let me know if there's some kind of an issue or anything that needs to be done. Just to go over a couple quick announcements. Of course, you're joining me because we're not having service this morning. We won't have service this evening, and we won't have service on Wednesday evening. The men and women's Bible studies for tomorrow night are both canceled as well. I do want to remind you that there's an option for you to be able to continue to give through our Annie Armstrong, even though we're not here. You can do that online through the link that I shared earlier today. You can look on down on your page, and you should be able to see that. As far as how to log into that, if you just click that link, it'll walk you through the process where you'll be able to do that. And then that will help you be able to give even to the church if you want to, if you're not here. We appreciate that as the ministry of the church continues, even though we're not gathering. So if you feel led to do so, I hope you'll do that. One other aspect for today, I'm sure you've read it in multiple places. I shared it earlier today as well. President Trump and earlier this week, actually, the president of our convention as well, called on us today to make today a day of prayer for our country, for those that are being affected by this virus. And I hope you will join me in that effort throughout the day. If you will take some time, stop, pray. For people that are going through this. It's genuine concern, regardless of how we feel about it individually. Collectively, clearly, people in our country are concerned and being affected by this, and we should care about those people. We care about each other as a family. We're a family of God. We view each other as family. We should love and care for each other, and if one of us is concerned, we should all be concerned. Ultimately, that was part of the reason for us choosing to go this direction with our services this week. It wasn't because we felt like we needed to be running in fear from a virus. It was more about the fact that we all collectively are a family. And if part of our family is concerned and cannot be here, then the rest of us need to support them in that. I pray that we'll continue to love on each other, we'll continue to minister to one another. Fairlawn is a family. I love my family. I love all of you. I hope you're praying for me and my family as we all go through this and the decisions we have to make. I'm extremely grateful for the leadership we have in our church that cares so much for the people, that we're willing to sacrifice the option to get together this morning to better care for those that we love and care for. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll get right into the message for today. It's about being in Christ, and I hope that it will be something that even though we're not collectively under one roof, we are still under one God, and it's important that we worship together this morning, that we listen to His Word. Hopefully, by next weekend, we'll have some better options as far as even maybe being able to bring you some music, different things like that, if we aren't able to meet. But we'll make that decision hopefully by Wednesday evening, give you all plenty of heads up on how we're going or what we're going to do with that. So let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your providence, for your promises, for your love, Lord, for your protection. Lord, I ask your protection on our family as they are worshiping in their homes today, as they're listening to your word. Lord, I pray that it still penetrates hearts and minds, that your gospel may go out in ways that it never has before. Lord, I pray that this time when we see so much uncertainty in the world around us, that we remain certain about you, about what you can do, about who you are, about your strength, your power. Lord, I just pray that you bring those of us with major concerns, Lord, I pray you bring us peace and comfort and a stillness and to learn to lean more fully upon you. And Lord, for those of us that maybe aren't as concerned, Lord, I pray you bring us compassion, that you bring us heart for for each other, that we think about how much our family may be hurting or concerned, and Lord, that we are equally hurting and concerned for them. Help us, Lord, to have a heart for one another, a heart for our community, and a heart for our country as we go through these things. Lord, bless this time together. Help us, Lord, to learn something good from your word today that will help us in this time and in all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be talking about, like I said, the in Christ. This is part of the series that we've done with Ephesians called By the Will of God. It's really been an eye-opening series for me. It's been a great book as I've studied it over the years as far as helping me to understand more fully what it means to be in Christ, how blessed we really are to be in Christ, and what it means for us going forward. John 3:16-18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." It's a great promise for us. We like to focus on 3:16, but 17 and 18 tell us that Christ came to save us, not to condemn us, not to judge us, but rather to rescue us and to reconcile us. Now, there'll be a day where we'll face judgment, we know that, but as long as we are found in Christ, we can experience salvation. Our verses for today from Ephesians come from Ephesians 1:3-14, and they read like this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read these verses, as we study about what it means to be in Christ, Lord, I pray that you help us understand the blessing that we have, the future that we have because of our ability to be in him. Lord, I pray for those of us that are at home right now, Lord, and maybe we have loved ones that aren't in Christ. Lord, I pray that we're celebrating what it means for us to be in Christ, and Lord, helping them to see their need to be in Christ. Lord, just bless this study of your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Christ means to be found encased within the person and propitiation of Christ. I gave you all that in definition last week. It's my definition. It's not a perfect definition. I don't mean it to be, but I want to get across the point that we are encased in the person and propitiation of Christ. We are completely surrounded by that when we are in Christ. It's more than just simply some new destination. We don't just simply get to go to heaven because we have placed our faith and trust in Christ. We are now in Him. We inherit His righteousness. He takes our sin. We're forgiven because of what Christ did for us. He paid a penalty, a price for us that we could not pay ourselves. And now, because we are found in Christ, we can be saved. It's a great thing. We continue to grow into the fullness of Christ through the process of sanctification. When we begin in Christ, Christ is visible through us to the world, and we become visible to God through Christ. But suddenly, the world can begin to see Christ as we live Him out. Hopefully, they begin to see Him more and more as we grow, and God sees us in a whole different way than He did. He's able to look upon us and to be able to celebrate us in Christ, to be able to bless us, to show us what it means to be adopted to Him. We begin to become sons and daughters of God. Our entire standing before God changes because we are now in Christ. Hopefully, our standing in the world changes as well, because now instead of seeing Jason Spade, the problem child from so many years of my life, now they see more and more of what Christ has done in me. My life begins to reflect Him more, and your life should begin to reflect Him more and more too. Ultimately, we have to echo the words of John the Baptist in John 3:30 that says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." The point of being in Christ is that we get to enjoy the blessings, but we also become those ambassadors that we're told about in Scripture. So when people look at us, do they see Christ? Am I becoming less? Is He becoming more? Meaning that I become less visible to the world, and He becomes more visible to the world. When my friends or family or people I run into at Walmart that are looking for, well, right now they're all looking for toilet paper and hand sanitizer, but if they're looking for whatever they're looking for, do they see me? Do they look at me and think to themselves, well, that's just Jason? Or do they look and think there's something different about him? And do they see Christ in me? It's a question that troubles me oftentimes about whether or not I'm properly representing the Lord of my heart, the Savior of my soul. Am I properly showing that person to the world? A visible example, one of the things that I could use as an example, many of you know my son, you know he deals with all kinds of different special needs, but about 4 years ago or so, we began to become aware that he was a schizophrenic. And he was dealing with several different issues in that. Some of them were heartbreaking. This child that was such a light for so many years of his life, there was a darkness that was kind of covering that. And you couldn't see it anymore. You couldn't see the light like you used to. We were able to get him some help and to get things straightened out, both with his living circumstances and his medications and other things, and just through a lot of prayer of the people here at this church and the family that we are surrounded by each Sunday and each week, we began to see that light show through again. And when you think about the way we live our lives for Christ, sometimes we forget, and we allow our darkness to cover His light, and that's what they see. People look at us and they see a darkness because we aren't letting the light even shine through us. For Trey, it was great to see this light begin to come back and to show through, and it was a great reminder to me to always let that light of Christ be seen. It needs to be seen. Needs to be seen not just by the people around me, but it needs to be seen by me. I need to look in the mirror and see what Christ is doing, not just put on a show for other people. It's important that we see that light. As I grow in Christ, less and less of the old me should still be visible to the world. That is why it says, in Christ. Not beside Christ or on Christ. It says in. When you put something inside of something else, what you see is the box. If you're going to ship something, you put it in a box. Where you see the box then, you don't really know what's inside of it anymore, because that's not the main object. Now the object becomes whatever it's in. For me, when I'm standing before God, I want to be in Christ. I want Him to look at me and judge me by Christ, not by myself, not by what I have done or who I am. When God looks at me, the only glorious thing He sees is Jesus Christ, His Son. There's nothing in me but that makes me glorious before God. Any standing before God that I have is purely because I am found to be in Christ. And it's the only reason there's anything glorious in you. It's important that we find ourselves in Christ. That's why and how we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, as it tells us in these verses, because of the person and work of God, through the person and work of Christ, and carried out by the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is completely visible in the verses that we study here today. And that Trinity is working on our behalf because of what Christ has done. I want to be encased in the person and propitiation of Christ. There's an emphasis of the work of the Father in verses 3 through 6. The work of the Son in verses 7 through 12, and then the work of the Holy Spirit in verses 13 and 14. Verse 3 through 6 tells us that we are chosen, predestined, and adopted, and continually blessed in the Beloved by God the Father according to His will before the foundation of the world. Before anything was created, God already had a plan for you. And that plan was be in Christ. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He saves us through Christ. That's God's work. It's the reason why we're told later in Ephesians that we are saved by grace, not by works. It is a gift from God. That gift comes in the person of Jesus Christ. Verses 7 through 12 tells us that we are redeemed by His blood, forgiven, lavished in grace, and given wisdom and insight. When speaking of Christ and His work, Colossians 1:9 says, "And so for the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." We are united in Christ to heaven and to our brothers and sisters here. We have obtained an inheritance, gained a hope in Christ that we didn't ever have without Him and cannot be obtained without Him. And all this is according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God directs it. And God provides Christ as that sacrifice. And when we are found in Him, we find salvation. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Verses 13 through 14 tells us that we were enlightened by the Spirit in a way that made the word of the gospel become truth for us. And we were sealed by the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our salvation until we take complete possession of it when we are face to face with our Savior Jesus Christ and our Lord God. 1 Peter 1:12 says, "It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, not just the sealing, the promise, the guarantee that He gives us of our salvation, but even the mystery of God's will that He reveals to us through His Word, angels long to hear. In Christ, we are privileged to know our God in a way that angels long to know Him, that long to enjoy Him. What possible spiritual blessing have you not received in Christ? When He says we have received spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings, there is nothing we have not been given in Christ. So how do you become in Christ? The way to be in Christ is to repent or turn away from our sins. Acts 17:30 says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He condemns all people everywhere to repent." And one of the problems I feel like we have today in our world, and we deal with on a pretty consistent basis, is people want restoration. Pretty much everyone wants restoration. We all want to be forgiven for the things that we've done wrong. We want to be forgiven for our sin. We want to be forgiven for the wrongs that we've committed. We just don't want to have to repent. We don't want to have to admit we were wrong. We just want you to forget about what we did wrong. The problem is that scripturally you can't have forgiveness. You can't have restoration. You can't have reconciliation without repentance. But with repentance, all of those things become possible when we will admit that we are a sinner. The way to be in Christ is to repent, to turn away from your sins. We confess to God that we are sinners. Proverbs 28:13 says, "Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." Romans 10:9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." When we believe that Christ died to take our punishment and now lives to give us life. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins accordance with Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures." He was raised to defeat death. When we confess that we are sinners, we can then call upon the name of the Lord. He forgives us, and because He has defeated death, we can enjoy eternal life with God the Father. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We become a completely new person. The things we used to do are separated as far as east is from the west. We are born again. I am Jason's faith. I am the same person that battled with sin on the fleshly side of things. On the spiritual side of things, I am in Christ. I am a forgiven, redeemed believer. And because of that, I can stand before God boldly, knowing He will answer the prayers of my heart, that He will hear my pleas, that He will rescue me. Most of us are looking for some kind of rescue. He grants us forgiveness of sins and all the blessings that accompany that salvation. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." All unrighteousness. I love the fact that after that verse, there's no asterisks. There's no except for. There's not a single sin, not a single wrong you have ever committed that being in Christ will not remedy. Every single sin that we are willing to confess before the Lord will be forgiven. That's His promise from Scripture. And then he goes on to tell us in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We stand before God as uncondemned, repentant, redeemed believers, sons and daughters of God, adopted sons and daughters, and if children, then heirs with Christ. John 3:18 says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The bottom line is that we will one day, at the end of our lives, I posted the other day, some of this anxiety right now is because we don't like, none of us like to accept the fact that we have a one-in-one chance of dying. We do. The question for us really isn't about how we're going to die or what virus or lack thereof is going to get us. It's about what are you going to do when you stand before God at the end of your life. If you stand there in your person, if you stand there as, if I stand there as Jason Spade and try to plead my case before God, I will be condemned. That's what 3:18 tells me. Because I'm not in Christ. I haven't believed Christ. I'm condemned already. But if I'm found in Christ, if I stand before God in Christ, I am a son of the King, the Lord of the universe. I am in Christ, an adopted son of God. It makes times like this that we're going through so much easier to accept. Are they worrisome? Are they? Can they be concerning? Absolutely they can. But ultimately, I know that I will stand before my God at the end of my life in Christ. And in Christ is the forgiveness of my sins. In Christ is my reconciliation. In Christ is all the spiritual blessings of God. Won't you today choose to be in Christ? I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to end our message for today. I hope this was a time that was able to lift you up and to encourage you as we go through these times separately, not under the same roof, but still together in spirit and in mind. Just thank you for coming and being a part of this morning. If you are here and that in Christ is not something that you know you are, I would encourage you to reach out to me in some way, and I'll help you with that. I'll pray with you about it. We'll lead through it. Whatever it is that you need to do, you can contact me through Facebook. You can message me there. If you don't know the church number, you can find it online at either our website or the Facebook page. You reach out to me by email, however you want to reach out to me, but let me know if there's a decision that you need to make or a prayer request you need in any way. I would encourage you to, as we kind of end this evening or this morning, to remember to pray throughout this day for our country and for those that are being affected by this virus. It's important for us to understand that the world has no power greater than our God. So we need to call on our God and ask Him to intervene in what's going on in our lives and in our world. But I pray today you find yourself to be in Christ, that the decision to follow Him as Lord and Savior has been something that you have done. Maybe you're in that place in life where your darkness is covering His light too much, and you need to stop and allow Him to be what shows out, and let Him be what people see when they come in contact with you. But maybe you've never made that decision, and you need to. But we're going to pray, and while I'm praying, I'm also going to pray first for those people that maybe have never made that decision and need to make that decision. You could just simply repeat this prayer after me, and then I'll close with a general prayer for all of us as we enter into this week and the rest of this day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I have done wrong. I have said wrong. I have been wrong. Lord, I don't want to stand before you in my own power. Lord, I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for the forgiveness of my sins. And Lord, today I call upon him to be my Lord and Savior, to cleanse me from all sin in my life. I believe what your word says, that you will cleanse me from all unrighteousness and separate my sin as far as east is from the west. Lord, I thank you that I have experienced and can experience this reconciliation, this forgiveness in the person of Christ, in your Son. Lord, I thank you for his sacrifice, for his willingness to pay it for me. Lord, today I ask that he comes into my heart, that he is my propitiation, that he becomes my sacrifice, Lord, and that he redeems me, that he becomes my Lord. I surrender to his leadership, to his direction in my life. Help me, Lord, to represent him well to the world around me. Help me to confess him to the world around me. Lord, help me have the strength to let the pastor know that I've made this decision. Help me, Lord, to know the next steps that I should take in my walk with the Lord. Lord, thank you for your love, for all the spiritual blessings you are giving me in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord, I pray for us as believers that are struggling with some of the different things that are going on right now in our world and in our culture, let alone in our families, and struggles and trials that we go through. But Lord, we can rest fully in the fact that you are so good to us. Spiritual blessings rain down on us. And even when the world doesn't make much sense, Lord, we know you are in control. Your hands can rescue us. Your power can deliver us. Your love can redeem us. Lord, help us to rest fully in your sovereignty, your providence. Lord, help us to not chase after every answer the world gives us, Lord, but to run fully and completely into the arms of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, bless this week as we make decisions about what we should do as far as meeting or in the buildings or anything else. Lord, I pray for our president as he and the rest of our leaders in this country make decisions on how we should respond or where we should go. And Lord, I just pray that you will give them wisdom and guidance. Lord, I pray for our churches as they're making decisions about whether to meet or not. Lord, that we can be together even though we're not under the same roof. Thank you, Lord, for that. For those that you gave such talent to develop such things. And Lord, help us to steward them well in the way we interact with our people, the way we care for each other. Lord, today I just pray that you will help us to be compassionate with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to reach out where we can, to minister where we can, to be available where we can, and Lord, just guide us in every way that we might show your love, not only to each other, but to the world that watches us from the outside. Lord, I am so grateful to be found today in Christ. Help me, Lord, to show others what that means for them as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. You have a good afternoon. And if I can help you in any way, by all means, please reach out.